This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello and welcome to the Housewives Archives, a podcast where we discuss in great depth all things Real Housewives. My name is Ellie Nunn and he broke the bow off of my cake and ate it. It's my co-host, Dave Sevens!
Ellie, I have low blood sugar.
She broke the bow
off my cake
and ate it. Eat it.
I completely forgot about that.
What I was going to do before I realized that it was crap was to say, if you think I'm talking down to you, it's probably because he's saying something stupid. But I realized that's not the quote. It just sounds like something Heather would say. I think she says something vaguely like that.
It's just what you would say about me. I mean, if the shoe fits. Hey.
No, Heather says something like that. Like,
she says,
if you think I'm talking down to you, it's probably because I think what you're saying is...
Are you thinking in the reunion when she says to Alexis, if everybody says you're dead,
no,
it's time to lie down?
Obviously not. That's like the most famous quote. Ellie, are you maybe misremembering?
This is my co-host who once called Melissa Gorga Melissa Georgia. So not to split hairs here.
Babe, I was at Cambridge for 3 years thinking that Magdalene and Magdalene were two separate places. Like, it's not just the podcast.
Ellie, I applied to Cambridge being like, okay, so my options are Oxford, Cambridge, or Oxbridge. I genuinely thought Oxbridge was like the third university, so I'm not one to talk.
No, you're okay, not.
This is a sharing circle.
This is a safe space. I've just started directing teaching. I don't even know what my role actually is at this drama school.
Do they know?
I don't mean, obviously.
I just walked in.
No one knows. I like to think mentor, guide.
Lover.
Guru, if you will. Never okay. Lover.
No.
Ever.
It's no fun.
Anyway, I made them all cry.
What did you do?
I made them all like be really vulnerable. They're amazing, mm-hmm. By the way. Just in case any of them listen to this. Oh no, I don't mean just in case, as if I don't mean it. As in, shout out to them. They're all amazing and the level of talent is incredible. And they were so brave and they did this whole exercise where you have to like stand up in front of each other and just stand there for a minute in silence and just be seen.
Oh God.
Oh yeah, I know. But we did a little circle of truth.
You were Eagle Woman.
I was Eagle Woman. We did a bit like the Beverly Hills sitting in a circle and everyone was sharing and it was wonderful. Anyway, Ofsted is coming in next week, so I don't think there'll be a circle of truth then. Just to be clear, Ofsted aren't coming in as a result of my teaching.
Sounds like there's a whistleblower in the midst. Did you see that Guardian article? And it was like a big tell-all about how corrupt the UK drama school system is right now. I haven't actually read it, but the headline is, I was forced to smell soiled underwear.
No, but it is mad. Even they were telling me about a famous class that's still ongoing at this drama school where you have to get someone off a chair by any means and the teacher pays the damages.
What?
Like, they're not held responsible for anything and someone poured water on someone's computer.
It's just
Let's
silly.
Just not be actors. I've been thinking this today. I've been like, what else could I do? Because it would feel kind of a relief to just not be part of that world. I might go live on a farm, I think.
I thought of this, but also I've had the crushing realization that my understanding of other jobs in the real world is still at the remedial level of like a five-year-old, where the only jobs are like teacher, policeman, firefighter, nurse, and suddenly all my associates are like marketing directors, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You'd be a great firefighter.
Can you imagine me, little fireman Sam cosplay?
You said that so funny. Little fireman Sam.
was singing the theme tune in a way, kind of half committed.
It was such a funny intonation. Birdman Sam.
I'm kind of cute today.
You'd be great. You're very into it. You're just Johnny, being like this little cute. No, you've got a bit of Bryn energy.
I do, don't I? Sexy baby.
I hate it.
On that note, did you finish the final part of the Neuroni reunion?
I did. You did not.
I did not. Tell me all about it.
I did, and I'm here to tell you the trauma dumping, that's why I was partly...
Oh, it's more of the same.
Well, I hope this isn't what I was encouraging people to do, but it's to like another level. Mm-hmm. The second part of the reunion is just in turn, basically them all like crying over...
Over what? What now? God, haven't they covered all bases?
And so... And supporting each other and being like, this is just the most amazing supportive group. And I'm like, this is great if it was group therapy. Mm-hmm. And they keep like talking about it as group therapy. And I'm like,
it's a show.
This show. This whole thing of being like, and they're all constantly just apologizing to each other and being like, if I had known that that was the pain. Like, I love Jenna Lyons, but Uber's explaining how hurt she was that Jenna said, I'm Team Erin about the phone thing. Mm-hmm. And she has a kind of breakdown crying about how no one had her back, and Jenna's like, Uber, if I had known that you were that upset, I would never have said I was Team Erin. And I was like, you barely said a bad thing.
Don't
like,
apologize. Or if you are, do like a hammy Ramona thing of like, oh my God, I'm sorry, I get it now, and
I am sorry. Like, they apologized for everything and made it like, we'll be better next time. And I'm like, well, it's gonna be a fucking boring season then.
There shouldn't be a fucking next time. I was holding out hope that at the 11th hour, as Andy was wrapping it up, Jessel would take off her prosthetic leg and then like throw it across the room, but we can but hope. Hey, you know what though? I kind of felt like I was being really mean about the gals last week, and I didn't lay the groundwork enough of like, of course, this is a new set of gals. They're still finding their footing. No. The first season of old Roni wasn't the most explosive. I think we were really spoilt with the likes of Salt Lake City as well. And they showed us right out of the gate, we have like a hospital smell fight. And I think that is such a high bar to beat.
I know, but then I guess it is morally, it's like ethically questionable that Salt Lake City are putting someone like Mary Cosby on the telly.
Good!
Definitely should.
More, I say!
Shouldn't be on television. And I don't think it's very well. And it's like, oh, I'm torn between being a good person and an entertained person. And the new Real Housewives of New York, it's very right on. It's very understanding. It's very holding space. And it's boring.
I think this isn't going to land, but this is...
Always good.
Yeah.
What are you going to say about Lyme disease now?
This is an adage I take with me in life, and that is, whatever happened to shame? And I think that society needs a little bit of shame is a good stabilizing force in life. And I applaud people.
You need you and me, a la Chicago, being like, whatever happened to shame?
Honestly, I want to run like a reverse TED Talk workshop about it and just kind of instill some more shame in people. Because if they had a bit more shame, they would self-censor in the way of like, okay, this is great for me and I feel like I'm getting something off of my chest and it's cathartic, but am I putting on a good show? Again, to be a pretentious actor, it's that thing of like, God, I'm really feeling it in the scene right now and I'm crying. And it's like, yeah, that's great, but do the audience get that as well? Or is this just very self-indulgent? Mm. Is it serving the scene in question?
They should get you on as like resident director. Bryn, this is lovely.
You got to
like,
edit, Bryn.
Lovely that we're dealing with your childhood trauma, but is it serving the scene?
Even that one scene in the Hamptons where she tried to open up Erin's fridge and she was like, Alexis, open fridge. And it's like, okay, cool, that's cute. And then she was like, Siri, open fridge. And it's like, no, you did that. You got to edit, you know, you said the joke once, or if you're going to say it twice, you got to make it rule of thirds, and it's got to build each time, you know.
And it's got to get funnier each time.
Yeah.
Or just do the same thing over and over. Yeah, they need you.
They do, thank you.
In your black polo neck.
I think I look quite chic today. Chic but cute.
You're very into yourself.
I am.
Today. Like, you little sexy
world
baby.
The world is mine, yeah. Anything else from the Jersey? From the New York reunion?
I don't think so. There was a lot of them saying how much they all love each other and crying about how amazing the
course.
Oh my God, there is something else. I can't believe Erin is 35.
I know, that's so funny, isn't it?
How is that possible?
She's the youngest in the cast, but reads as the most matronly oldest person. It's so funny.
She's what, like 3 years older than me? That's, I refuse to believe. Mm-hmm. Mad. Mm-hmm. Madness, I say.
Very funny.
So yeah, crazy.
Love her. Anything else you'd like to tell me about before we jump into Heather Dubrow?
No, we were going to talk about New Beverly Hills, but nothing happened in the second episode particularly.
And a third episode has since come out and neither of us have watched it yet.
No, what kind of Housewives fans are we?
We're really second rate. I think there's a reason why.
Why what? Why we never cracked it into the top 10 in Azerbaijan.
Exactly. I think we're slipping. We're slipping. Turkmenistan, we're clinging on as well for dear life. But no, occasionally we'll get reviews being like, I don't understand why this podcast isn't more popular. And I'm like, I agree. But then also I listen back to the content. I'm like, yeah.
You're like, I can tell you. It's a Georgia.
We see each other. All right, let's dive into Heather Dubrow.
Let's talk about Heather Dubrow. That wasn't an impression of Heather Dubrow.
Well, let's try and do the voice, because she kind of has, again, one of those quandaries when we do a Housewives impression where I can kind of isolate the two facets of a Heather Dubrow voice, but I can't quite marry them together into one cohesive impersonation where she, on the one hand, has the kind of like, you came into my home and said that I was a liar.
Yeah, it's very like, my children are in the house. Please leave.
But then she also has the kind of, not like crackly, but slightly hoarse quality of her voice.
What? Like when? When is this crackly voice?
Like, she's kind of she's kind of gravelly. Now look here, Terry. Should we call an ambulance? She's not. No, God. I'm trying to not go into. She's kind of like, this is low bass bullshit. You can leave, Kelly.
Yeah. No, that's.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They're very good.
Thank you.
Generally, Heather's just very kind of ugh-y, isn't she? Everything she does is like, ugh, really? Terry? She was a bit Carlton there.
I know, it was.
Really?
I could love Carlton.
No, we're not having onion rings.
Let him have his goddamn onion rings. Who cares?
Not the man eat his onion rings. Also, when did onion rings become déclassé?
Heather's the tastemaker. What Heather says goes, you know? I think it's when you're at that level of stupid wealth, then, you know, you can be as Lucian ugh as you want to be. And I think in that sense, Heather was a real game changer. And I think it's funny when people say that Housewives has gotten too dark and we need to go back to what Housewives was, which was like rich, fabulous women having silly, petty drama. Because it's like, you're talking about OC, which is bar maybe Jersey, like the tackiest, most lower deck of all the franchises. Like they were neither rich nor fabulous. And it goes back to what we said about Alexis, where weirdly, when Alexis Bellino, it sounds laughable to say now, when she came onto the scene, she was like the closest thing to someone who was like aspirational or rich in a kind of very tacky OC way.
Yeah.
But then when Heather joins the group, unbelievably 8 seasons in, like that's suddenly when we have our first taste of real wealth.
I do think there's real wealth, obscene wealth, but also even though Heather does read as very uptight and controlling of her own image, she did also bring an intellectual property that was quite game-changing for the show.
What do you mean intellectual property? Like Star Wars.
Well, I feel like no one wanted to go up against her. Wait, what?
Like intellectual property is like a franchise, like an IP. She bought shares in Pixar.
She brought
an intelligence?
No, but more than that, she brought an intellectual property onto the show that had never been seen before, right, Camille? I don't know what the word is that I was looking for, but it raised the bar in terms of she's very articulate. Mm-hmm. She is pretty knowledgeable, quite quick-witted and things like that. And I think it felt like a different fight. So I think in some ways that's been the argument in the most recent season. I just think it's been the wrong season to have this argument. But has been like no one's ever gone up against Heather because they're scared of her slightly kind of intellectually eviscerating them.
Right.
But now we are. They just don't really have a very good reason.
It's kind of the Lisa Vanderpump effect, isn't it?
Exactly.
They both suffer from this double-edged sword where they're so intelligent and their lifestyle is so lavish that it's the reason everyone likes them and kind of kowtows to them, but also it instills a sense of fear in them, which means they always kind of assume the worst in them.
Well, also a whole kind of you think you're better than everyone else thing. And I do think that Heather, A, kind of owned that and made that part of her personality in quite a funny way of being a bit like, yeah, I do think I'm better. That's kind of what I meant by the first quote. I'm not sure exactly what it is that she says somewhere about, if you think I'm talking down to you, it's probably because I am. Mm-hmm. She does reclaim it. She's not pretending not to be that. But I do also think that it often gets projected onto her at times where I don't think she thinks she's better. Like in the most recent season when she was wearing the full wetsuit thing. Mm-hmm. Something like that could so easily get turned into like, oh, Heather doesn't want to get naked like everyone. And it's like she's insecure about her body. Like it's not about thinking she's better than everyone else or like...
It feels a bit like... Sorry, I'm taking a long route here, but I don't smoke weed. It's not my thing. And it's fine.
Okay, we're back to sharing
but
time.
When I...
Circle of truth.
But when I'm with a group of friends who do, it inevitably there's then like this weird imbalance or like a shift in energy where there's this inbaked sense that I'm judging them because I'm not partaking. And then they all kind of like scurry off to another room and they're kind of giggling and laughing about it. And suddenly I've been cast in this weird role as governess where they're expecting me to judge them or look down on them in some way. And it's like, it's not. But then the more I insist on that, it makes me feel defensive and like I am. And
Absolutely. I think you are a little bit of a Heather Dubrow.
Me too, yeah, completely.
But I think the example you just gave so perfectly encapsulates. There have been moments where I felt really sorry for her because I really recognize I too am also the responsible one often in groups or not partaking in a level of madcapery that just isn't my style. And there have been moments where, or when Heather's not a part of the kind of Vicky, Tamara, Shannon madness, I really feel sorry for her because she looks like a real kind of stick up her ass. Like she looks quite humorless, but actually I get it. It doesn't suit her, that kind of letting go. So she has to do the thing of standing on the side, being like, get out of the pool. Here's, I have, like, she has to take on the, I love that you said like the kind of governess role.
Yeah.
And then that feeds into them being able to be like, ugh, that's so annoying. And she never does any, like she's not fun like us. Yeah. And I'm like, that's sad. Because if she tried to be fun, I think you'd be like, that's lame.
And I'd like to give everyone the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're all on the same wavelength where they know that Heather's kind of playing the matron role with a bit of a wink in her eye. And I think I think Tamara and Vicky know that if they didn't have Heather being like, stop, then it would just be so irritating, quite frankly. You can't just have Tamara running around flashing her tits all the time or Vicky like pissing the bed unchecked every single episode. You need some kind of like opposing force to give it that kind of like fun odd couple dynamic that makes it enjoyable television.
You do, and that's why it's so sad. The evening at Shannon's, the one where Heather's just really pushed out by them, is because everything where normally there's that knowing wink of her bantering back.
Yeah.
Or what's the thing where she says to Tamara, does she say something about you have your tubes tied? Tamara turns it into something where she goes to Shannon being like, fuck her. Where it so obviously would normally be a part of their banter back and forward. Mm-hmm. And everything gets twisted in a way where Heather can do no right on that evening.
Yeah.
And it just makes her look like this weird, sad sort of left out schoolgirl.
Yeah, we kind of get hints of it throughout. I don't want to kind of like jump to this most recent season straight away, but we've definitely gotten hints of it from the beginning where the editing, where they choose to include just like the comment where they're all in Montana and they're shoveling shit. And I can't even remember what the comment is that Heather makes. And it's like definitely kind of cringe and tone deaf, but very much on brand for Heather Dubrow and part of her usual repertoire. But then suddenly everyone's very like, that's actually incredibly insensitive and shoveling shit is good, honest, hard work. And it's actually not something to joke about. Yeah, and it's like, okay, cool. I didn't know all of a sudden the cast of Orange
County.
But also,
if Heather hadn't, again, it's something where she's trying to be like, look, I can get
down in the shit, quite
dirty like anyone else. And actually that ended up being like one of my favorite parts. Mm-hmm. And it got turned against her rather than it being good for Heather that she like,
yeah,
fancy pants, like got her hands dirty. But I just found, again, with that most recent season with the Montana trip, when she was honest about saying, when you and Shannon are together, I feel a bit pushed out. And that got kind of used against her in a way where I thought that was really, for Heather, really unexpectedly like vulnerable on the show. And you can see when Shannon and Tamara piss, it's horrible when you're the sober one or the more sober one and you're with people at a level of pissed where, exactly like we were just saying, you're forced into a role of observing or running around after them, and you're pushed out of the mutual naughtiness.
Yeah. Again, it's kind of the Lisa Vanderpump effect, where the women often put her on a pedestal, but then there's inevitably a distance, and it often feels like Heather's up against the window looking at the kids playing outside, and it's like she wants to join in, but she doesn't quite know how.
And it's hard, because whenever she hosts something, it's kind of used against her. But that's the one time where she's in the setting where it works, mm-hmm. because she's in control of it. And yeah, I feel she's the person that they all open up to the most and turn to, because she probably gives the best advice. And that's tricky,
yeah.
as a place. It's like they need her as a friend. But anyway, let's go back to when she joined the show.
So she, as you say...
What you were saying.
Very... she's almost, not to be flippant, but back in the days when... Real Housewives was like wildly segregated. She was almost like a diversity hire. She has this East Coast sophistication, and she's very intelligent and articulate. She's brunette. Even in her attire, she dresses in all these like little black dresses while everyone else is still in white jeans and like bejeweled sky tops, and very much fits the Shannon Bador, Dorinda Medley, Margaret Josephs mold of a housewife who enters the show quite late in its run, but fits in really perfectly as well.
And feels like an OG.
Feels like an OG, and particularly impressive on Orange County, where you've got like this two-headed hydra of Vicky and Tamra, who famously haze the new girls. She really didn't have any of that. And I think in part, it's a testament to how obviously telegenic and comfortable Heather is on TV, that she's so naturally fit with the format. But she also had the very good luck of sharing the screen with Alexis, who was the communal punching bag at the time. And I think it's no coincidence that Heather's first season is also Alexis's takedown season, because Heather suddenly represents, as we were saying, real aspiration.
All the stuff Alexis is kind of proclaiming to be. Yeah.
She's a convenient avatar that Tamra can gesture to and say, Alexis, you're trying to be Heather, but you're not Heather. We don't actually need you anymore, because we have our own Heather right now. And it's not like Alexis was ever taken seriously, but suddenly Heather's presence, by comparison, makes Alexis seem like her Heather Dubrow drag is particularly pathetic. It's a bit like a girl walking around in her mum's shoes, or she's like playing dress up in her mum's clothing or something.
Especially Heather's lucky that, bless Alexis, her whole kind of wanting to be an actress, she just like... let the show into that so much. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, you can film me going to try and get with this sleazy agent, or going to an acting class and doing a scene with someone and screwing up presenting constantly.
Right.
Where Heather's clever to say she's an actress, mm-hmm. refer to her back catalogue, but really has only let the show into her filming a big sitcom mm-hmm. guest appearance to kind of cement how classy that was. But it's almost like the less she says or the less she does, mm-hmm. the more this sense of like, oh, Heather's a real actress.
Yeah.
Where by all means, the same thing could happen if a more successful actress came on OC.
Yeah.
And it would make Heather's career mm-hmm. look
yeah.
non-existent.
Mm-hmm. God, it's so, I find it so triggering when Alexis has that one talking head where she's basically says that Heather Dubrow is not a real actress because Jennifer Aniston is a real actress. It's such an annoying auntie thing to say.
Yeah, yeah.
That I find particularly triggering, where it's like, unless you're on EastEnders on the reg, then you're not an actor, you know?
I hate that whenever they do that on these shows, where it's a bit like, I mean, you're not Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, as if like that's it's that or nothing, just like out of work. Yeah. And it feels but that, and then I wanted to say this when we talked about Carol Radziwill, when Bethany says that Carol doesn't have a career, is such an irritating thing to say, not only for an actor, but basically anyone who works a freelance job or not a traditional 9-to-5, where it really pokes at an insecurity. I don't know about you, that certainly I have, of like, if I'm not actively doing something right now, then am I really...
It's horrible.
Do I have a career, when it's so non-linear and it can go so well one day and then disappear the next day?
Oh my God. I've been acting since I was 17, and across like film, TV, theatre... and concerts. And that's like 15 years. And I feel like the least successful actor on the planet. Mm. Like, I feel not only like I'm faking it, but also it's that weird thing where I'm now, I mean, we'll see how the Ofsted inspection goes, but I'm now like a teacher at the top drama schools in the UK. Mm. And I still feel like an Alexis Blaney. Like, yeah. I still feel like someone being like, I'm sort of trying out acting.
Like, you're like in your French tip nails drawing a stick figure family. Like,
yeah, and just like dreading anyone bring. I still, exactly like you say, the thing of being like, No, Jennifer Aniston is a real actress. Like, we all feel that thing of kind of going, well, I'm not a...
I'm an actor, or trying to be. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. And it's horrible because sometimes you're up for jobs where you can place onto the job a sense of, if I got that, then I would be a real actor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we shouldn't talk about it like Heather wouldn't be a real actor if someone with a more illustrious career came onto it. But I just mean that the show was very clever to actually hold back, or Heather was very clever to hold back a lot of her career and to leave it to the imagination. Maybe I should do that more.
Honestly, yeah.
rather than like let the show into her work life.
Mm-hmm. Which is what makes the IMDb fight kind of annoying, because it's picking apart something that Heather hasn't even put forward. I feel like, you say, I feel like she was very upfront about, yeah, I had an acting career. I did these pilots. I had these one season appearances. I was very lucky to be a main character on a show that ran for one season, and that was it. I don't think she was amping up her credits in any way. So then suddenly, when all the women took this very investigative approach to her resume.
Also, it's just like, fuck you, Tamara. The idea that anyone, I'm so with Heather on this, the idea of someone going through your CV.
For any job.
For any job. And being like, oh, like, it doesn't seem to be that much, whatever. It's just like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this fight is a very good crystallization of Heather and her fighting technique, and kind of where I land with her in general, where in this argument, I'm on Heather's side, where she makes a very correct point in that she can't just... Heather... So maybe I should rewind. So Taylor's doing this show, this, she's filming a movie in Oklahoma, isn't it, about like a concert pianist who dies or something, and she's playing this grizzled detective. So funny. And then basically one of the other actors drops out, and Taylor says to the director, oh, I have this friend Heather, she's an actress, she'd be great in it. And the director was like, great, ask her if she wants to do it. And then she says to Heather, do you want to be in the show? Or like, I printed off this script for you. And I think there's a bit of a miscommunication where Taylor thinks that Heather's going to say yes, or she's more interested than she is. And Heather was just kind of politely indulging her in the moment, but didn't actually intend on filming this movie. And Heather says, oh my gosh, you're so sweet. And that rubs Taylor up the wrong way. I feel like where I land in this fight is that Heather is correct in her basic point of, no, she can't accept this movie. But then she goes about it in the most annoying, condescending way, where we have that confessional where she lists off all these reasons, and they're all technically correct. It's like, Heather, I'm assuming, is part of SAG-AFTRA, and is this like a union production? Is it not? Because if it's a non-union, then she can't do it. And does she have to get her agent involved? And what is the percentage? And all this stuff. Like, there are some moving parts to it, and it's hard for her to articulate that to Taylor, who isn't, or is very green to the world of acting in a way that doesn't
without
seem
it
really
seeming patronizing.
It's the same thing as the Gretchen fight, where she was saying to Gretchen, I understand you maybe thought you were getting a direct offer, but what they were doing is they were just checking your availability. And there's a difference between an availability check and an offer. And again, it's such a fine line that you have to walk on these shows, but also in life, of you have to articulate your point in order to be heard and understood. But if you articulate yourself too well, then you come across as pretentious or condescending, which unfortunately is how Heather comes across most of the time. And it kind of goes back to that sensation of how she's always slightly left out of the fun, where you feel really bad for her, but there's no way around it. It's kind of a cold, hard truth of just, she's just innately quite pretentious and quite patronizing just in her being. And I don't think there's much that she can do about that. And I don't think she can help that in any way. And I kind of feel bad for her.
It's so true. And I'm also just finding it all a bit triggering, because I'm like, oh God, are we both Heather DeBros?
I mean, yeah, I see a lot of myself in Heather.
Yes. I did a show a few years ago where a lot of people in the cast really liked to drink. And at the time I wasn't drinking. And there was a very clear point every evening after the show where I could feel them needing me to go, for me to go, so that they could have a kind of fun that they just couldn't have if I was there.
Have an Andalay's moment. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And this idea, I think, that was all a bit showmancy, and it felt like I represented consequences or judgment, and they needed everyone to be in that place, mm-hmm, to have that kind of evening.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why it's so easy for Tamara to paint Heather as a villain whenever she can be bothered to, you know, spin that narrative, because Heather's way of speaking, and I don't think we do this, but that, as we were saying, that slow, insistent way of talking where she will emphasize key words like she's schooling a child, and that is not okay. Even like her listening voice, she has a very funny active listening voice where if someone's talking to her, she makes a conscious point of like nodding and blinking to show that she cares and that she is listening. And I hear you in a way that does just read as very insincere, and not to kind of like go off of her appearance, but just her very essence. She has such like a long, spindly kind of like taloned presence and these kind of beady little black eyes that she seems a bit Tim Burton-esque. You think of that scene in Ireland when they're in the van and she's kind of like just pouring Megan's face.
That is bad. Yeah.
Like, I am so sorry that this was ruined by this trash. It's just so mean. Yes, it is mean. She is mean.
She's mean. She is mean.
Not me. She's very like Coraline's mum.
Yeah, exactly.
Very Heather Dubrow-coded.
And it's annoying because they all utilize her when they want her on their side of an argument, because she's a very good fighter with that. And she's very good at doing the thing she does to Taylor where it's like, and not only that, but also da-da-da-da-da-da and stuff, and go, and also I find that it's da-da-da, and she just doesn't take a pause or a breath or something, and then finishes what she's saying. Please leave.
Spewing out all these synonyms as well. You know she's really pissed because it's like, she goes very Mrs. Merriam-Webster, where, what's the word? She's like, it is punitive, and you denigrated my career. Not only is it anti-women, it's just not nice.
Ugh.
She kind of ate Taylor up. When Heather wants to, she's a really good fighter, which is why I think she can be a slightly frustrating presence often, because actually, no, I'm going to get back to it. Can we talk about the sushi fight in season 11 when Kelly's there?
Which one's the sushi fight?
So it's
the one in the where she like quits the show, basically.
Basically, yeah. So Kelly is really annoyed with Shannon.
I am not doing this.
Kelly calls Shannon the C word. And Heather storms out of the scene, as Ellie said, basically quits on camera. And she does it in such a fucking funny way. She gives a school mom performance where, again, she gets up because they're in a sushi restaurant. All of the women are on the floor, sat cross-legged. So it looks like she's a kindergarten teacher telling them.
And all the walls are made of paper.
They're all made of paper. She's got one hand on her hip. And she's like pointing the index finger of her other hand, and she keeps wagging it at all these women. She might as well have like a wooden ruler in her hand. And it's such a stereotypical like commedia style embodiment of a strict school teacher. And she's like, I am not doing this. This is not okay. This is low base bullshit. And she like, again, really punctuates those active words for maximum effect. And then she does this really funny thing.
Such a good impression.
Thank you. She does this really funny thing where she's yelling at Kelly, but she tries to like soften the blow by sandwiching a compliment in the middle about how she's a nice person. But her tone is still stuck in like angry school teacher mode. So she's like, Kelly, this is not okay. I think you are probably a very good person at heart, but this behavior is not acceptable. And then she goes, leave. And then she like gestures with both of her hands. And I think she's really trying to recapture the glory of her season 9 performance.
Please
where she,
leave.
Yeah, please leave. And Shannon goes, wow, oh my God, wow.
Wow.
basically, she's expecting Kelly to like leave with her head bowed and be like, sorry, everyone. Yeah, sorry. But she's just like, leave? What are you, like the boss?
Fucking bitch.
And then Megan goes, and it just completely takes the wind out of Heather's sails. So then Heather has no choice but to be like, okay, fine, I'll leave. Bye, girls, I'm done. And then like awkwardly has to like bend over and collect all her things and shuffles out. And then we get this amazing scene afterwards where she's being driven home. She's in tears and she's on the phone to Terry telling him the whole thing. But it's like they're having this weird telepathic conversation where all she's doing is crying, but he literally responds as if she said actual words where he can like decipher what she's saying through the tears. This is how the conversation goes. He goes, what's wrong, honey? What happened? Really? What does she do? And then like, it just keeps going on like that. And then finally she is like, Kelly called Shannon the C word, and then she called Tamara a dumb fuck, and it's just so horrible. And I don't know. I feel like you said this once that you kind of agreed with Heather that Kelly's presence kind of like tipped the show too far.
It did change the show. It lost any game playing. It was like if Lisa Vanderpump is like the chess player of the game, Kelly was like a kid coming in and just like bashing the chessboard off the table constantly, being like, I don't want to play anymore, or just having a tantrum and then everyone being like, okay, now we have to pick it up a bit. Because what was frustrating with Kelly is she didn't even dig her heels in and be like, call someone the C word, and then be like, no, she is the C word because of this or this. She'd just immediately come out and be like, I don't think that.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
I'm sorry. No. And it's just like, it's a bit like Aviva's level of crazy on New York, where it leaves it nowhere to go. It's great for drama, but there's no consistency. It doesn't provide for like simmering, long-standing storylines. There's nothing clever about it.
Kelly's presence on the show, it feels like that friend of Sarah who drunkenly took the bow off of our cake and ate it. But like for a whole season, we're like... But like if Kelly was there, she would have just like done a shit on the cake just for shits and giggles.
What did she say? Know. No, but what does Heather say? We have to talk about the cake thing. Ugh. Where Heather's like, if you were hungry, they could have made you a sandwich.
Yes. There is food being passed around.
Took the bow
off my cake.
My cake.
I think that's...
renaming cake.
That's where Heather, I kind of find frustrating. Like, I get her point where she says in the reunion, like, the show is better than this. But it feels a little bit too close to Vicky's diatribe in that one reunion of like, this isn't what the show is. Like, we need to elevate this. What happened to having a moral compass on the show where it's like, I know you don't want it to be like Jerry Springer antics, but also this is a show that's had Naked Wasted and Faking Cancer on the show.
Yeah, but I guess for as long as Heather had been on the show, it had felt like it had more of a semblance of structure and a kind of snipiness or arguing, but it wasn't thuggish. And Kelly came on the show was like with this sort of brute force of just ripping stuff up in a way that I guess what Heather's point is, if it's someone you can't even argue with because it's just like a bulldozer of sort of drunken slurring and shouting at people. I agree that it's a bit like clutching pearls, but I guess Heather's whole thing is that she's always, it's like a lot, the facial expressions and the listening and things like that, was that it's her being like, this is not what I want to be associated with. They all do that a bit, that thing of being like, I have children.
Yeah, yeah, it's very like, selective.
Like, it is annoying. It is selective. But at the same time, of all the seasons, I kind of get it on that one. Because Kelly didn't really have any charm to balance it out.
Yeah, Kelly is a villain. And I wish that Heather recognised that Kelly's presence or Noella's presence is to Heather's benefit. Because without someone like that
benefit, not
checking
them,
she does just come across as pretentious and goddamn annoying. And so if we see season 16 when she returns and she doesn't have these huge titans like Vicky and Tamra to be a thorn in her side, and she's given this big red carpet entrance of like, hooray, Heather's back to save the show. She's kind of cast just as the protagonist. And for the first, at least half of the season, it's almost like the Heather Dubrow show. And it is very sincerely about how fabulous her life is and how amazing her house is. And we finally get to see this house. And we needed a Kelly Dodd type to kind of constantly shit on it.
Totally. And I was a bit like, ooh, and you're completely right. And that's why I found it so funny, the sort of takedown this season, because this season was one of the first times that Heather actually appeared to be quite humbled and readily apologise constantly and say, like, these are the friendships that really matter to me, and to be vulnerable and be like, I don't want to be, like, pushed out of my friendship with Heather Janin. And that's the season they decided to all be like, Heather is the most manipulative villain of this. And it's just like, oh, they really picked the wrong... You'd have been better off doing that last season.
It's like, again, it's the Lisa Vanderpump effect, where for long-term viewers who choose to view Heather as a villain, or not even as a villain, but if you've been watching it from the beginning, you remember things like, I didn't love the way that Heather kind of gaslit Shannon her first season.
You will all see the truth!
Do you remember that weird instance where Tamra's on the, what do you call it? Like a rocking bull, one of those rodeo things.
Yeah.
And Heather tells the guy to speed it up to like maximum power. And then Tamra falls off and breaks her arm. And Heather's like, and then like fires the guy who was controlling it. And it's like, no, you told him to speed it up. Like if you want to read Heather as a villain who has gone unchecked, you can.
Totally. And so if I was going to, it would, you're so right though. It would be Shannon's first season where there are loads of these little microaggressions, like when Shannon turns up late to the barbecue and she's like, "Why wish you would have told me? We were all because we were all waiting for you." And it's like, why? So,
yeah.
At an event for like 200 people were you waiting for the Badors,
right,
who you don't know?
Yeah.
And that horrible thing of when Shannon's having a breakdown, being like, I think she might be having a breakdown.
Should we call an ambulance? I think she's having a psychotic break. How do you say that with a straight face?
Not great.
So yes, it's kind of the Lisa Vanderpump thing of her chickens finally came home to roost, but it's kind of like a weird time for it to happen. It should have happened many, many seasons ago, but I'm sure some people celebrated it. But for the mainstream viewer, it looks like the punishment absolutely does not fit the crime. I think Heather actually is a very strong fighter and she's a very strong tactician. And so I really enjoy moments in the show where she is forced to play that hand rather than playing a role that I suspect she is much more comfortable playing, of the fabulous friend who,
yeah,
almost playing like a Lisa in Vanderpump Rules type. I think if she had her way, she would just stay in her McMansion and like Gina and Emily would just come to her and like fill her in on all the gossip, and she'd be shipping her little champs and be like, this is fabulous, and going on trips with Gina to New... Oh my God, side note, that trip, that 3-episode trip in season 16 where Heather and Gina go to New York to take Heather's daughter to college is the worst. It's the nadir of Housewives entertainment, and I include Neuroni in this. It's so fucking boring.
I don't think I even watched it.
With good reason. There's no point whatsoever. This is what happens if you let Heather run amok and not have anyone challenge her. Like, Heather provides very boring solo content. And this idea that Heather and Gina bonded over being like native New Yorkers is bullshit. Because Heather, for a start, neither of them are from New York City. Gina's from Long Island and Heather's from Westchester. That's like saying like two people are like two Londoners and one's from Essex and one's from Surrey or something. It's just like not true. I love the idea then, the revelation at the beginning of season 17 that Gina Kirschenhiter, of all people, has dropped Heather like a sack of shit because she realized that actually budding up with Heather the season before didn't actually play very well because Heather's not as popular as she thought she might be. So then suddenly Heather finds herself on the outs. And how does it go? So it's like very clear from the get-go that Tamra... I guess it's not clear from the get-go, is it? Because Tamra comes in and we have this very muddy
performance. It kind of is.
Tamra's very scattergun and...
Well, because Tamra can't decide. She's just like manically looking for a storyline.
She's like Shannon or Jen or Heather.
The whole Jen thing is so mad in terms of... I feel so sorry for her to get someone on the show basically just to be like...
She got her on the show knowing she'd like ruin her life.
It's awful. It's really awful.
And Jen's a lot savvier than past friends, where Jen can see that it's happening, but again, doesn't know how to stop it.
Yeah. And then you just have this weird combination of Tamra basically decides to go after Heather by just constantly picking up on things she says and turning them into problems when they're not. She very cleverly gets Shannon on board by basically blaming Heather for Shannon's biggest insecurity, which is anyone talking about John Jansen,
right,
and making that entirely on her. And then you have this weird thing that Emily sort of gets involved, and Emily is constantly looking for a problem with Heather in a very annoying way on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's annoying is it gets turned into that thing of Heather gives it, but she can't take it. But often I think that the clips they're showing, she's like, oh, you can make a joke about my boobs, but I can't make a joke about you. I think is Heather's made the joke in response to try and be like, I can give it back. And then it's turned into like Heather's teasing, but then can't take it.
Yeah,
it's like,
no,
I think that is her taking it.
Yeah.
And it just becomes everyone just like jumping on everything she says, and also constantly trying to bring stuff up with her where Heather just very quickly is like, does her listening face and is like, well, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of unequivocally apologizes and like meets up with Shannon, and when she chokes up saying to Shannon, look, I genuinely really care about our friendship and the time we've had together, and Shannon's like, here comes the waterworks or whatever. Yeah. And you just think, God, there's no point at that point. There's nothing she can do.
Heather's painted herself into a bit of a corner with the Shannon stuff, which is the real catalyst for the Heather takedown, isn't it? This idea that Heather has gone around behind the scenes and been gossiping about Shannon and John Jansen. And I get Heather's point that she's trying to make of why am I getting shit for something all of us have done. We've all spoken about Shannon and John's relationship, but what's tricky about that is she needs to make that case to the other people who've also all been doing the bad thing. So that kind of then relies on those people admitting that they've done the bad thing. So she's kind of got an uphill struggle. It's tricky because Tamara's modus operandi in this scenario is to use proxies and to initiate a bit of a whisper campaign to people individually. And I think Heather tries to put out those flames individually, whereas actually she'd be much better just calling out Tamara outright in front of everyone and just having open warfare and catching Tamara off guard, which is something Heather dances around a bit.
It's not really her style, and you're so right about the flames thing. And what's amazing is that circus party at the end, it's quite literally Heather going out and putting out each fire and Tamara going around and stoking each fire up again.
Yeah.
Where it's like Heather's having to return to someone where it's like, I just put this out and now it's lit again. Also, Tamara just has that really annoying thing that when she decides someone's the villain, she goes in so hard and it's so disproportionate to what's happened or the friendship. And it always has to become like they are the most manipulative. She's going around everyone. Yeah. And it's just so... Tamara's so annoying.
It's almost like Tamara's gotten to a point where she's not even attempting to play to like the truth of the scene. She's not going to insult the audience by asking them to necessarily believe it. It's almost like she's saying, look, I know that this is really ham-fisted and a far reach, but can you just like go with me on this because we need to put on a show here? Whereas Heather, I think, is grounded in a lot more truth and facts and detail. So with the whole thing of calling everyone losers, she almost was expecting Heather to say, I never said losers, but she's kind of like, no, I did. I was talking about Noella.
I know, but then Gina's so annoying at that dinner in the treehouse. Treetop restaurant or whatever, where she's like, well, now I'm hearing that you're calling me a fucking loser. And you're just like, oh, shut up, Gina.
I would honestly rather be ambushed by everyone all at once and get it over with, like Tamara was in Bali that one season, than be inflicted to this like slow, steady water torture that Heather has of Gina and Emily tag-teaming and being like, all I'm saying is you haven't been a good friend lately every fucking 5 minutes about the stupidest things. And it's like, Gina, side note, prefaces everything by being like, I've been a good friend to you, Heather. And it's like, I don't know if you have. Like, you're kind of flaky and like well-meaning.
I haven't seen Gina be an amazing friend to anyone, particularly. No.
As what we were saying before, a couple of episodes ago, Heather has the good sense to lean into the victimhood of it all, because if it's one thing that Bravo fans respond to, it's a gang up, and they will always, always side with the person being ganged up on.
It is so funny, drunk Taylor at the end, just completely destroyed. Taylor had managed to kind of claw her way to a tiny bit of dignity, having basically not existed on the show all season. But then when she sat and spoke with Heather and was like an ear for her, it actually felt like we understood why Taylor was there. So her turning up dressed as candy floss, just being like, Heather, you're brown, so she thinks she's better than her. And you're just like, oh god.
Good for her.
It does not help Tamara's case. No. It doesn't help anyone's case. You're just like, Taylor, just no.
Yeah, I think Heather had the very good luck of, if she's going to get ganged up on, that they all committed to it. So it made her look extra victim-y. And also the people ganging up on her were like Gina and Emily, who no one particularly likes in the fandom, and also Tamara at her most performative. So if we're just running on the idea that this was Heather's turn in the hot seat, then I think all things considered, she got off very lightly. And as you said, the way she kind of worked that room in the finale party, they all came with their daggers drawn. And she somehow managed to have them proverbially on their hands and knees sobbing. And she was like stroking their hair and being like, shh, I forgive you.
That's how I argue. That's my style. And then it's funny because at the reunion, I feel like, again, this is what's so annoying about Tamara. Tamara was basically just a bit like, no, I really like Heather and I miss you and we're friends. And they were like, yeah, the end. And you're like, what was the point of that whole season? Like, we know we're not going to see Jen again.
Oh, I think we will. I thought she was...
Do you?
Yeah, I thought she was a pretty good solid casting. I also think they have to keep someone around just to save face. They can't just keep having these one season wonders anymore.
I just wouldn't think she'd want to do it again. I kind of think Taylor has got to go... She's basically a friend of anyway.
Taylor is a friend of, yeah. She's just, I think she's very happy in her drunk auntie role. I find it a little bit sad. She kind of reminds me of that one girl at school where, I don't know if you had this, there'd always be like one girl at school at a party or something where someone would be like, get your tits out. And she'd be a bit drunk and be like, woo, and just do it. And it's like, oh God, you don't have to be a performing monkey. Just this idea of constantly being like, Taylor, open up. I'm going to shoot a load of tequila in your mouth from a water gun. Or Taylor, lick Emily's tit. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh God, but she seems happy. Good for her.
I feel like at the end of the day, I feel like at the end of the day, what it is, James, is at the end of the day, despite the fact that I think she has been a bit of a villain on some seasons for exactly the reason you said you put so well about that kind of pretentiousness, that even when she's right, her delivery can't not be. The acting thing was such a good example where making that clarification reads as petty and patronizing, but it actually is an important clarification. Mm-hmm. I do ultimately really like Heather. I find her annoying sometimes. I really didn't love the red carpet rollout of her return being this sort of like, it's my show now. I thought she did that terribly. But on the whole, she's someone I would enjoy having lunch with, and I tend to find myself coming down on her side of most arguments. Mm-hmm.
I, again, this probably is a strange opinion to have. I personally, I would feel a little bit patronized if I were her friend, but I'm kind of fine with that. I'm fine with a bit of light condescension.
It's sort of just who she is.
Yeah. And I think if you buy into it and you accept it, then that's fine. I repeat what I said. I think Heather is a stronger housewife than she gives herself credit for. She's a good, solid fighter. She's a strong strategist. And she can be funny, but she needs to be funny with a bit of a trollish presence like Kelly or Noella. That's when she's at her funniest.
No, that whole kind of like,
bam, bam, bam. Is there an American lady in here? That's when she's funny.
I have never been so mortified.
And that's what annoys me is that she so clearly got Noella fired. Noella was good casting. She's easily the best one season wonder we've ever had. And I wish Heather could value the show with a presence like that and value herself as someone who can be trolled from time to time.
Yeah.
I love this revelation that she's an absolute terror to production and like beats them up on the daily, like sends someone to hospital.
Heather.
Yeah, isn't that what Noella said at the Nobu party when she was like, cameras down, and then like beat up a producer? I mean, obviously she didn't, but that's what Noella was saying. Oh my God, I'm remembering when Noella gave, is it Max, the Cards Against Humanity? And Heather was like, you
the
gave
pornographic.
My daughter pornography.
Pornography. Which also was really funny because Noella was like, I kind of wanted to be on Noella's side of being like, it was not pornography or whatever. And then when Heather starts reading them out, and she's like, oh.
Was she censoring it?
Such an inappropriate gift.
In my head, she was like self-censoring in the moment. It's like, I would blank your blank until you blanked. And that is disgusting. She's so funny.
She's amazing. I think she should stay. I think she should ditch the whole Champs. Do I hear a cork pop thing?
Yes, stuff like that.
It's old.
So annoying.
Stuff like that. Like, we're over. We've made that joke every single time. It's like when someone... One thing I've really noticed being in a relationship is you have your little patterns where things like when I came back from the cruise, you end up having to tell the same story constantly. Mm-hmm. And you end up in this weird rhythm of like, I kind of find myself leaving a gap because it's like, do you want to jump in with the witty comment you made the last three times?
Yeah.
It gets a laugh always. But it's weird because you both know there's like this silent understanding with each other that it's like, we say that every time. We do like the bit where
right.
I'm like, sometimes the pianist wasn't even playing. And Kim's like, which was better, to be honest. Yeah. And it's like, and it's like, it's horrible and it's a bit hackneyed. But Heather, it's been like 5 seasons of you saying, do I hear a cork popping? Mm-hmm. Enough. Champagne's not that nice.
5 seasons of Terry needs to step back from work because I just don't see him anymore.
Terry needs to step back from getting work done on his face.
You haven't gotten over this. It is a
because
shock.
Because the man looks like a chipmunk on steroids. Completely. I was shocked to my core.
There's that scene, what is her name? Nicole at the Nobu party the season before, and she's crying about having sued Terry.
Oh my God. That was the most red herring storyline where they introduced her like she was a new housewife. It was the complete
disappeared.
Non-story. And then she literally had one lunch with Noella where she was like, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
You're crying like, shit in public. And then just never appears again.
I like to think she's now buried under Heather's house. Heather and Terry had a very scary vibe in that Nobu party where they crack a joke at Nicole's expense and then they're like, hey, they're such a gruesome twosome together.
But they love their kids. And I love all the stuff Heather was saying about her kids.
She's an ally. She's a great mum.
She is a great mum. And I think ultimately a positive impact.
She's collecting those letters. She's got an L, a B and a T.
Pressure's on Nick.
Come on. TikTok.
Oh, good old Debrett.
We hardly knew you.
Your impression of Heather is very good.
Is it? Thank
I'm
you.
I'm so impressed.
Thank you for saying it in the moment rather than after it's the fact, right. Being like, oh, as shit as I thought it was.
Next week we'll have to do someone I do a good impression of. I thought my Heather would be good, but it turns out she's in a much lower register than I thought.
I'm telling you, it's that kind of, not gravelliness, what's the word? Kind of just...
No, you're so right.
Coarseness, I guess.
Base. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Lots of plosives.
What are we going to talk about next time?
I have no idea.
So I don't know how you feel about doing another rewatch, but so many people, more than anything else, have reached out to ask us to cover The Real Housewives of Sydney, which was another one season outing.
Okay.
And it'll be fun to whip out our Australian accents.
Let's do it.
Great.
Love it.
All right.
Can't wait. Okay, I'll go watch.
Yeah. Did I tell you, someone reached out to us once from Melbourne and they said that her and her co-workers were obsessed with our impression of Danielle. And just the idea that there's like a group of girlies in an office in Melbourne somewhere talking in our impression of Danielle is so wild to me. I love it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of all these messages you read and always keep to yourself and don't pass on. Mm. I'm just saying.
It's like a nice boost of serotonin.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you're here in New York, I'll do a little PowerPoint and show them all to you.
I look forward to it. Mm. So much shade.
Well, you know, it's one of the benefits of having to run the Instagram.
Ooh.
If you want to take over the Instagram at any time, you're more than welcome to. Because you're good at an Instagram takeover. I've never done an Instagram takeover. This is going to be your second one, isn't it?
Second? It's going to be our fourth or fifth. I do them all the time.
So,
cheeky little ask me a question.
Little shameless plug. If anyone's in New York on the 28th of November and they'd like to come and see Ellie Nunn sing Sondheim at people, she's playing at 54 Below.
Mainly if you just want to meet me. Little meet and greet.
It's like a little prototype live show of the Housewives Archives, if you will, because I'll be there very much in the audience.
Yeah, if it starts to bomb, if we find that not enough Sondheim fans turn up, James will just jump on and start Andy Cohen the evening. He'll just do a live Housewives Archives app, like a little mini BravoCon.
I have a stripped down a cappella version of I Can't Wait to Grow Up by Melania Judice as well in my back pocket. So say the word.
Oh, hey, so excited.
Me Melania. Right, do you want to sing us out? Or take us out. Sing us out. Go on.
I'll just take us out. I was going I'm trying to remember what I'd say.
I think you should tell us off as Heather Dubrow.
Oh my God.
Patronize us out.
Thank you for joining us on the Housewives Archives. But if you want to subscribe, then that would be really helpful. Or if you want to just tell your friends about it or leave us a review, that always helps too. We'll talk to you next week.
Please leave.
Leave. Please leave.
I'm asking you to leave.